for all the mothers and mother figures, the grandmothers, aunts, and extended family members who mother, the soon-to-be mothers, the wish they were mothers, the never wanted to be mothers, the it's complicated mothers, the birth mothers, foster mothers, adoptive mothers, stepmothers, the used to be dad mothers, the more than one mom mothers, the single mothers, separated mothers, stay-at-home mothers, unhoused mothers, the grieving mothers, those who grieve their mothers, and those whose grief is complex. For all the communities that mother, and for all who depend on the great mother, you are held and beloved. And so I'm speaking to you this morning about the call to nurture. And before I do that, though, I want to tell you what my mother, and maybe yours, taught us. To appreciate a job well done, if you're going to kill each other, do it outside. I just finished cleaning. And maybe about religion. You better pray that will come out of the carpet. And about time travel? If you don't straighten that, I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week. And about logic, because I said so. That's why. And then more logic. If you fall out of that swing and break your neck, you're not going to the store with me. Okay? And about contortionism. Will you just look at that dirt on the back of your neck? Even about the weather. This room of yours looks as if a tornado went through it. And about our roots. Shut that door behind you. Do you think you were born in a barn? And finally, about choice. Do you want me to stop this car? So happy Mother's Day. This day originated to honor peace for mothers and also later to honor mothers. And I think there's something deeper, though, for us to look at. That is our gift to ourselves all the other days of the year. If you have children, animals, and just everyday people in your life, you most likely felt the call to nurture at some point. This is not a call exclusive to biological mothers, and it's most definitely includes fathers. See, Webster says that a calling, that's why this is a call to nurture. Calling is an inner urging towards some activity. And what does Webster say about nurturing? To feed or nourish, which of course is not just literal, but it's metaphorical as well. So the call to nurture is an inner urging to feed or nourish something or someone. That really broadens the playing field. Because it's Mother's Day, I want to frame my comments in the context of nurturing as a facet of universal feminine principle. Principle is just something that just is, but it has the means and structure to bring about. And so we're going to explore this topic today of an inner urge towards feeding or nourishing those around us. So you're going to have that memorized by the time you go home today. I spent a long time looking through my inspiration folder for stories that depict this inner urge toward feeding and nourishing. I cried through some of them. The speaking points, though, the gems I'd like for your minds to absorb are, and I'm literally going to relate stories because I didn't know how else to speak to you about this morning. So we're going to look at that inner urge, how it plays out, what it looks like, and then we're going to look at what's behind or underneath that inner urge. And then you get a challenge. So how that inner urge plays out. And this is the story for that. It's of a gentleman remembering back when he was a child and their first phone. Some of us are going to recognize this. You know, the polished box fastened to the wall with the receiver hanging on the side. I had one of those. I had to climb on a chair to use it. And he discovered that somewhere inside that wonderful device lived an amazing person, and her name was Information, Please. There wasn't anything she didn't know. His personal experience with this lady in the box came one day when his mom was out visiting a neighbor, and he'd been amusing himself at the tool bench in the basement, and he whacked his finger with the hammer, and the pain was terrible. You know, this is a little boy we're talking about. And he walked around the house sucking his throbbing finger, and he finally got to the stairway, and all of a sudden he thought about the telephone. And so he dragged the footstool, just like I did, from the parlor to the telephone, and he unhooked the receiver and held it to his ear. Only mine, you had to crank that box and hurry up and jump on there and pick it up. And he said, information, please, into the mouthpiece. And a very small, clear voice spoke into his ear, information. And with tears running down his face and his voice, he told her he'd hurt his finger. And she asked if his mother was home, and he told her no, nobody was home but him. Then she asked if it was bleeding, and he told her no, that he had hit his finger with the hammer and it hurt really bad. She asked if he could open the icebox, and he said he could. I wonder if that was a literal icebox. Who knows? He explained, and then she explained about chipping off a bit of ice to hold on that throbbing finger. Boy, after that, he called information, please, for everything. He asked for help with his geography. She told him where Philadelphia was. She helped him with his math. She told him that the pet chipmunk he'd caught in the park would eat fruit and nuts. When Petey, his pet canary, died, he called information, please. And he told her the sad story. But he wasn't consoled because what she gave him is the platitudes that adults give to children about death. And so he asked her, well, why is it that birds should sing so beautifully and bring joy to all families only to end up as a heap of feathers on the bottom of the cage? So she sensed his concern now. And she said quietly, Paul, always remember that there are other worlds to sing in. Then he felt better. On another day when he called information, please, and her familiar voice said information, he asked, how do I spell fix? All this took place in a town up in the Pacific Northwest. And when Paul was 9 years old, his family moved, and they moved all the way across the country to Boston. And in his mind, information please lived in that box, so he didn't even think to try the shiny new phone where they moved. Even as he grew into his teens, those childhood conversations were always there as reminders. And when he had moments of doubt and perplexity, he would recall the serene sense of security that he had then. And now he appreciated how patient and understand this information please lady was to have spent so much time with him. A few years later, on his way to college from Boston, back west to Seattle, he had about a half hour between planes. It seemed so natural to dial up his hometown operator and say, "Information, please." Miraculously, he heard that small, clear voice respond with information. So spontaneously, he asked, "Could you please tell me how to spell fix?" After a long pause came her soft-spoken answer, "I guess your finger must have healed by now." And he was so pleased and excited. "So it is really you. I wonder if you have any ideas how much you meant to me during that time. I wonder if you know how much your calls meant to me. I never had any children, and I used to look forward to your calls." And so Paul told her how often he thought of her over the years and asked if he could call her again when he came back to visit his sister. And she almost pleaded, "Please do, and ask for Sally." So 3 months later, he did make that trip back to Seattle. And when he called information, please, a different voice answered. He asked for Sally. She asked if he was a friend, and he said, "Yes, a very old friend." She told him she was sorry to relay the news that Sally had been sick over the past few years and had died 5 weeks ago. He was ready to hang up when she said, "Wait a minute, did you say your name was Paul?" "Yes." She said, "Sally left a message for you. Wrote it down in case you called, so let me read it." Her message was, "Please tell him there are other worlds to sing in. He'll know what I mean." And of course, he did. You see, that was long and so loaded with what I'm speaking to this morning about this day, about this urge. You see, that impulse to extend oneself to another can be as spontaneous as information, please. It rises up from the depth of our being because life is that activity of nurturing. It's the feminine aspect. We have both. We have the feminine and the masculine aspects as part of the balance of who we are. And that's nurturing, is the feminine. And it's enlivened to the point of establishing heartfelt connection. So what's behind this inner urge? Now you're getting it. You're thinking, you're feeling when that's risen up. The story for this is we have Karen, who found out she was pregnant. And she did everything to help her little 3-year-old son, Michael, to get ready for his new sibling. And they found out that the new baby was going to be a girl. And so every day, Michael found out, would sing to this new baby sister that was coming in mommy's tummy. Every day. He was building a bond. He didn't know it. But he was building a bond of love with his little sister even before they could meet. And so it's time for the birth. Complications arose during this delivery, hours of labor, and after a really long struggle, Michael's little sister was born, and she was in very serious condition. She was transported by ambulance to a hospital with a neonatal care unit. And the days inched by, but this little baby girl got worse. The pediatrician told the parents there was very little hope for her recovery. And they had fixed up a special room in their home, of course, to welcome this new baby, and now they were contacting a local cemetery about a burial plot, planning for a funeral. Well, during all this activity, Michael kept begging his parents to let him sing to his sister. And week two brought forth the reality that a funeral was probably going to take place before the week was over. Michael still nagging about singing to his sister. But you see, children are never allowed in NICU. So Michael's mom decided she'd get him in. I want you to picture this. No matter what, if he didn't see his sister now, he may never see her alive. So she tried to disguise him in scrubs. But of course, the head nurse knew what she was doing. And she tried to assert her authority. But Michael's mother also took a stand. We're not leaving until he sings to his sister. And so she took him in to his sister's bedside. And he gazed at this tiny little baby. And after a moment, he began to sing in the pure-hearted voice of a three-year-old. Mine's not going to sound like his. You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. And instantly, the baby girl seemed to respond as her pulse rate began to calm down and become steady. Oh, Mama says, keep on singing. And he goes on, you never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away. And the baby's ragged, strained breathing became smooth as a kitten's purr. Oh, keep on singing, Mom says. The other night, dear, I lay sleeping. I dreamed I had you in my arms. Michael's little sister began to relax, and healing rest seemed to steal over her. Keep on singing, Mom says. And now tears are streaming down the bossy head nurse's face. And Mom was glowing. And Michael finished his song. You see, the very next day, Michael's baby sister was well enough to go home. So what's behind the urge to nurture? You know, this little boy had the call to nurture this new baby sister while he was getting acquainted with her in mommy's tummy. And that call to nurture came through during her crisis. She was used to that nurturing in that warm, safe, secure home in utero. And then she came out onto this huge, bigger, greater, who knows what a new baby thinks world. And she needed contact with her brother to feel safe, to feel nurtured. See, what I came to see in these two stories is this call to nurture is born of a higher, deeper love, which is the expression of that universal feminine principle. It is love freely given and received, action and reaction that creates a circular bond. It has no beginning or end. So now we get to look at the challenge part of this. And I know if you've ever been on the internet, this floats around no less than at least once a year, but it has a purpose here for me this morning. About the female humpback whale who had become entangled in a spider web of crab traps and lines. She was weighed down by hundreds of pounds of them, and it caused her to struggle even to stay afloat. She also had hundreds of yards of line wrapped around her body, her tail, her torso, and even a line hanging in her mouth. And a fisherman spotted her and radioed for help. And within a few hours, a rescue team arrived and determined that she was so bad off, the only way they were going to save her was to dive in and manually untangle her. And that was very dangerous, because one slap of this whale's tail would kill them. And so they worked for hours with curved knives and eventually freed her. This is the best part. When she was freed, the divers say she swam in what looked like joyous circles. And then she came back to each and every diver, one at a time, nudging them. Think of this. This is a huge whale. Nudging them, pushing them gently, thanking them. Some said it was the most incredibly beautiful experience that they'd ever had in their lives. And the man who cut the rope out of her mouth said her eye was following him the whole time, and he will never be the same. When this call to nurture has the opportunity, it draws masses of people to be involved in that caring. It shows up after disasters without fail. Don't we see it? Every last time something happens with three or more people, that urge, like these people, comes into play. It can become more commonplace with us, though. Without a disaster, it can show up because it's the natural way of things to respond in mass. That's not church mass. So to summarize, the call to nurture is the poignancy of life offering itself through us to the others in our lives. The call to nurture is an inner urge to feed and nourish something or someone. I told you, you'd get it one more time. It is the universal feminine side of our nature desiring to take form, male, female, adult, child. And we can't exclude the critters. I watch these things on Facebook, on the internet, the different species interacting or caring for or nursing. The call to nurture, it's both, is an important aspect of our spiritual balance. And the call to nurture could be the saving grace of our country, our world, our universe, when we're aware of it. The urge, and then willing to answer or respond to that call. And I would just like you to join me in just a very short moment of silence, where words integrate into our mind and our being. So it is.